Support for this episode comes from T-Mobile. We're a lot more than just baseball fans. We're baseball fanatics. And thanks to T-Mobile, we can stay connected to the game we love with 5G in more places. T-Mobile is your ticket to the game. So whether you're home or away, you're never far from your favorite team with America's largest and fastest 5G network. Don't get caught looking. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G today. Fastest according to OpenSignal Awards based on average speeds in USA 5G experience report, April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Around the Corner. I am Matt Schlichting, your co-host, joined as always by Brian Heminger. Brian, how are you?
It's good to be back.
Yes, I agree with this statement so much and on many levels.
I was going through prospect withdrawal and now I got a train.
And so everything is happening at once all of the time. And I say we just embrace the train.
It's going to get really loud here in a second.
It is the train is our number one Cleveland Indians prospect at all times, if we really
train,
think about.
If you think Nolan Jones is on the right track, be loud. Oh, no. I don't know if he thinks Nolan Jones is on the right track.
Oof. Harsh criticism from a locomotive. Omens, friends. This is not good.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
In reality, now that our train critic is on the other side of the bend, around the bend, metaphor involving trains here, how did Nolan Jones do this week? Our true number one Cleveland Indians prospect.
Yeah, he has very quietly bounced back. As we all know, he struggled mightily to start the season. He even dropped in his prospect ranking in the top 100 and all kinds of stuff. Some people didn't even have him as our number one prospect anymore, but it just took him a little bit of a learning curve, and he has settled in quite nicely. In this past week alone, he had a WRC plus of 187. That is tremendous, especially considering he is still just barely 23 years old in his first taste of AAA. But for the week, he went, let's see.
And just to make sure it's clear for our listeners, we are defining the week as the days from.
Okay. Yeah, for me, I'm counting them as from Wednesday, June 9th to June 16th. So, but for that week, he went 5 for 20 in 30 plate appearances. So he had a very interesting slash line of 250, on base percentage 500, slugging 550. So of those five hits, he thwacked them pretty good with three doubles and a home run. So he was on fire. He also got hit by a pitch. That's why his on-base percentage was so ridiculous, with the nine walks and a hit by pitch. And he only struck out six times. So significantly more bases on balls and hit by pitches combined than the strikeouts, which is a very good sign. He also stole a base, which is not his calling card, but he has surprisingly been flashing some speed on the base paths this past month as well.
Our top prospect is getting sneaky as well.
Yeah, I'm liking it.
Me too. So some excellent news for Nolan Jones then. Our number two prospect, as always, is Tyler Freeman. I've got his numbers pulled up from the last week, and it looks like he was a baseball player. In fact,
nothing too crazy, but nothing bad. I mean, he is still one of our best offensive players overall on the season. And it's not like he had a bad week. It's just he had an average week, and that's going to happen. And you know what? With Tyler Freeman, I feel like a bad week for him is an average week because he's such a good hitter.
Yeah, it was a pedestrian 200, 259, 280. Still playing very good defense in the middle of the infield, and the best players on the planet have weeks like that all the time. So
moving on, we've got Bo Naylor, who is our number three prospect, and he is still looking like he's trying to find his way in the Akron lineup. It seems, you know, for the week, he had five games in set, and in 17 at-bats, he went 1 for 17. So that was not good.
The one thing I do like is that he managed to draw a decent number of walks.
Yes, he did have 4 walks. So the slash line is a very interesting 0.238 or 0.057, 0.238, 0.057. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Not great. Yeah. WRC plus of 6.
6.
But hey, he did manage to steal a base too.
And he's in the black. He is above 0 on the WRC plus scale.
I guess that's better than nothing. But yeah, he is definitely still trying to find his, you know, to settle in at AA. It is a heavy learning curve for him right now. And hey, that's just something that you're gonna have to take your lumps a little bit. You know, he is twice now jumped multiple levels. So they have been crazy aggressive with him. He's one of the youngest players in AA. This shouldn't be a huge surprise. I would honestly be surprised if he was out there putting up, you know, Tyler Freeman numbers. So,
right. And to me, the fact that he's still drawing walks tells me there is not a problem with pitch recognition at all. It's just that he needs time to get used to the level of pitching.
Mm-hmm.
So, shucks, he's not a once-in-a-generation player, but he still looks like he's going to be a great player.
Yeah, the strikeouts are a concern, but, you know, they were 38% this week. But I just want to put in a comparison here. Akron just faced or is currently in a series against Baltimore's AA team, which has two of the best prospects in baseball, and one of them is the top catching prospect in baseball, Adley Rutschman, who went number one overall. And you got to remember this, Adley Rutschman is in AA as well as the former number one pick overall in baseball, and he is 2 years older than Bo Naylor, and they are both at AA. So just remember that. For Bo Naylor to be at the same level as Adley Rutschman, that is nuts, being 2 years younger than him. I mean, he would have to, I would be concerned if he was here 2 years later putting up these kind of numbers. But for the first taste, you know, let him take his lumps and learn right now.
Absolutely. Would I be happy if he does this all season? No, but I don't think I'd be worried. He's so young.
And if you remember when he jumped to Lake County, back when Lake County was the first level of our full season, you know, he struggled early as well there. And then he settled in and ended up putting up those crazy numbers that we all got excited about with, you know, double digit home runs, triples. One of the only players in all of minor league baseball to do it.
So. And it's looking more and more like there could be an opening at catcher sometime soon. I don't know. Yeah,
with all these injuries and struggles we're having at catcher, you know, if he does catch on, it would be, there is definitely an opening at the moment, or at least the need. But I'm not expecting him to get promoted to Cleveland. I don't care how many guys get hurt right now.
Oh, I would be shocked to see him there this year or at the beginning of the year next year, frankly, but you never know. So our number 4 player on the countdown is Mr. George Valera.
And we have some good news with Mr. George Valera.
He played baseball.
He was activated. And how about this for telling the world that you're feeling good? On his first game back, and let me double check, it had been his first game in almost a month. He played May 12th, then his next game was June 8th. So a little over a week ago, he had his first game back. And in that first game, he went 2 for 2 with a home run and a walk.
He cranked that thing, too.
Yeah, he blasted it. I think it was dead center. So
he feels his obliques fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And then in his next game, he went 0 for 2, but then just a couple days ago, he had 2 walks in 4 plate appearances. And then in his last game, he went 1 for 4 with a walk, reached base twice. So, and he also stole a base. So he seems to be back to doing George Valera things. And that is the greatest news on the planet. I love getting to tell people that he is healthy and contributing, because it has not been happening enough.
Just want to be able to click his FanGraphs page and have the sensation of a large scroll unfurling before me. I cannot wait.
I will tell you, there was nobody happier on June 8th than I was when I saw that he was back, and then immediately just started hitting bombs. So that was a very good sign. He's still not playing like back-to-back days yet, so they are definitely, you know, using the baby gloves with him, but it seems like he is starting to get back into it. So next up, I believe we have our shortstop prospect, Gabriel Arias. Do you have his numbers?
I was jumping ahead to Espino, and I just realized this is a system that I did not communicate out loud at any point to you.
Then I will handle Gabriel Arias. Over the past week, he continues to perform well. And in this past week, he went 8 for 25, batted 320, hit 2 home runs and a triple. His slash line for the week was a terrific 320, 357, 640 with a 153 WRC plus. So he was 1.5 times the average prospect out there. So very well done by Gabriel Arias. The only concern is some of those numbers that he put up earlier in the year that were just mind-blowing about getting all those walks and limiting his strikeouts. He did have, out of all those great numbers, in his 6 games played, he struck out 11 times. So that's almost 2 a game, which is not sustainable if he wants to keep putting up numbers like that. And then he just walked the 2 times. So hopefully, you know, he can limit the strikeouts, but that is the only negative to say about his past week. He has been terrific. And what's nuts is he is just barely 21 at AAA. So I am a big, big fan of Gabriel Arias right now.
I think everyone should be, because he seems to have all of the tools and currently the ability to use them at a fairly high level for his age.
Yeah. I mean, we have a bountiful riches right now in the middle infield. I mean, I am pretty sure that just about every team in all of baseball is jealous of what we have right now in our system with all of these players that can fill those middle infield positions and are starting to add some extra, you know, utility with outfield as well. So, I mean, that seems to be the name of the game is from talking to some of the players is make yourself more valuable to the team by being able to play multiple positions, because you just never know what the team's going to need.
And from the prospect's perspective too, yeah, it makes them that much more likely, I think, to get opportunities. Yes.
Next up, now is your time to shine. How did Daniel Espino do this past week?
Pitched a couple of games, one of which, now that I am navigating the internet again like a competent human being, he went 5 innings, gave up 3 hits, 3 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks. Not a bad performance at all. In the next one, he was brought in for 2 innings and gave up 2 hits, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk, no earned runs, and presumably it would have been a piggyback or relief appearance, although it is suggesting it was started. So
the 2 innings was a suspended game. So he started the 2 innings. He was killing everyone. And then they had to stop the game. And then they completed the game with somebody else the next day. So it was out of his hands, but he was doing great.
Yeah, it looks like he had command of everything with 4 strikeouts through 2. So yeah, another exciting week for him, and it continues to be exciting to see him tear up the competition wherever he goes.
Yeah, he is living up to the top prospect status right now. He has just been sensational. I am a huge fan of Daniel Espino, and I will continue to be a huge fan of his. And I just, I think the thing that excites me the most is that he's throwing 101 as a starter, and he's still throwing 101 in like the fifth inning of his starts. So, I mean, that is, you know, DeGrom doesn't even hardly throw 101, and he's like the most terrifying pitcher. So if we can get Espino to, you know, I'm not trying to tell everyone this guy's going to be DeGrom, but he is throwing as hard as him as a starter and maintaining it, which is, I mean, you should be drooling right now considering, and there's no rush on him right now either, because we have so many really good college arms ahead of him that can move through the system quickly. Like, we can really take our time with this guy. And I think that's what also really excites me.
This is not the same thing at all, but it reminds me of drafting a first round quarterback, but having the luxury of taking a few years to learn the system.
Like the Packers when they drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, sorry.
I was just going to say that.
He is the perfect. It's because he's the prototype of that, I think, or at least for our generation, like, that's the immediate example we go to because it clearly worked.
Yeah, like, we don't need to rush Espino because we've got, you know, Xavion Curry, Logan T. Allen, Tanner Burns, Hunter Gaddis, Mason Hickman, plus a whole plethora of arms at AA that are, some of them healing, like Cody Morris and Adam Scott, and, you know, all these guys ahead of him that, you know, we don't have to rush.
Yeah, the system is stacked with dudes.
Yes. They may not all be available right this minute when we need them the most. Or if we did, it would be rushing some of those even college arms. I would say over the next year, I mean, we just are going to have an abundance of pitching available to help out the big league club.
An abundance of arms. This brings us to Brian Rocchio, I believe.
Yes. And Rocchio, I would say it was about average. WRC plus for the past week was 96. So he went 4-for-19. The slash line was 211, 333, 368. He hit a home run and walked 4 times compared to just 5 strikeouts. So that's not bad. And he did steal a base. So I would say, not bad considering his age, you know, not even 20 and a half at high A. So he is doing just fine. Like, he's not tearing the cover off the ball like a few of his teammates, but he is certainly not overmatched at a challenging level. Next up, Aaron Bracco.
He disappointed me in the last week, which is fine. These things happen. Bad weeks come. And then hopefully you do not have another bad week. His bad week had a slash line of 136, 167, 318. And that's a WRC plus of 24. Now, within that, I will say he had 2 very good games to start the week, but then had, I think, only one more hit the rest of the way and struck out a decent chunk of the time when he was at the plate. So just a tough week. He did not have any luck on balls in play either, so I continue to be excited about the direction in which he is progressing.
All right, and then and he did hit a home run, so as you mentioned. Next up, Ethan Hankins. No real big updates there. Tommy John surgery. You know, see you next year. And last but not least, Josh Wolf. And this was a bit interesting. In Josh's last appearance, he actually came in as a piggyback partner. This was his first time not starting, and he came in and pitched the final 4 innings of the game that he participated in, and he threw 4 shutout innings. 2 hits allowed, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. So he came in out of the pen in long relief and also got a save, believe it or not. Not bad. On the season, his ERA is 4.66. He has had some great performances. He's had 2 starts where he went 4 shutout innings. He's also had 1 horrific appearance that is the last time we will ever mention it, when he went 1/3 of an inning and gave up 5 runs on 3 hits and 2 walks. So, but top performer of the week, you have to give it to Quentin Holmes, believe it or not. If that name sounds familiar, he was our first draft pick back in 2018. Now, he has had a combination of injuries and inability to make consistent contact and even struggled on the base paths despite being the fastest player in that draft. But when he's having a good week, we're going to give him some love. And he returned from an injury, so he again was dealing with injuries this year. But since his return from the injury, in the past week, he went 5 games, his slash line 500, 500, 778. He had a triple, he had a home run. His WRC plus was 245. Woo! Good for Quentin Holmes, baby.
That is very good.
That is so good. I that just warms my heart because, you know, I did an interview with this kid right after he was drafted. I thought the sky was the limit for him, and he just could not put it together. And I'm not saying that all of a sudden one week or a week and a half means he's put it together, but it is really nice to see somebody start to figure it out. Because, you know, he was drafted the same draft, one pick later by the Indians was Tyler Freeman. So who is getting all of the prospect love and is one level ahead of him right now and tearing it up at Double A. So, but it is very good to see Quentin performing well at High A, because you got to remember, he's still just 21 years old. He was a young high school player drafted out of New York. So,
and it's a reminder of the talent that made him so highly touted in the first place. So hopefully it's a return to form, and we'll see. It's nice to see his name here. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who's next up for you?
Juan Mota gets it from me simply because of the gaudy numbers. He touched 101 miles per hour on his fastball, unless that was his changeup, but I'm assuming.
I wish.
Okay. Three innings and a third, did not allow any runs, struck out 7, and that was across 2 games too. So some interesting situational pitching there too. Just a great week.
He's another intriguing bullpen arm. I believe he is at either High A or Double A. I will have to double check that. It is always exciting to see some of these young arms that just throw gas and that they have a good week, because sometimes he's a little inconsistent with his control, which is you're going to get when you have somebody throwing that hard. But he had a very good week, so I figured it was worth giving him some love and hopefully gives him a little boost of confidence moving forward.
I just cannot believe minor leaguers have to face 101 miles an hour now. Like, I was talking to a Reds fan who I'm friends with about Hunter Green, and we're just saying, like, what do you do with a 102 mile an hour fastball when you're in Louisville? What?
I saw Hunter Green through 106.
Was that like with a running start and one?
I don't know. All I know is I heard Hunter Green 106 miles an hour, but
I'm sure he threw something in a spherical shape at that velocity. But was it a baseball?
Now I gotta look. I did see he. I saw Hunter Green did recently get promoted, but so we are now on officially the Reds prospect podcast. But I do want to mention in one of his last starts, the final 3 pitches were 101, and that was in the 7th inning. So that's terrifying. So we've got that to look forward to in our, you know, Ohio Cup coming soon.
But just connecting it back, we have guys in our system too that throw that hard now. It's just fascinating. Yeah.
There's been quite a few, actually. Like, we just activated like Liam Jenkins to like the lowest level of at Lynchburg. And I think he was hitting like 99 miles an hour out of the pen. So, I mean, we just have dude after dude after dude that is just coming in there and blowing people away, which is really exciting. Like, the scouting for our like international pitchers and bullpen arms is just insane right now. Next up, let's give some love to Andrés Giménez. Now, he didn't have the best batting average for the past week, but today, which is Thursday, I think the podcast will come out maybe Friday or Saturday, but as of Thursday, he has homered in Columbus in 4 consecutive games, which is very impressive. I mean, he is not known for his power, but he is just blasting the baseball right now. And, you know, when somebody gets demoted from Cleveland to the minor leagues, they can sulk and whine and play worse, or you can respond, and he is responding. So huge, huge props to Andrés Giménez.
It's nice for sure that he's not taking it laying down. I hope he continues to homer in every single game. This will make certain decisions in the future very easy. I'm excited about the next one, too. I did not know anything about Xavier Curry coming into this season, and I have enjoyed getting to know him very much.
Yeah. So he got promoted. He is, I would say, one of the first players that got promoted outside of Columbus to Cleveland that got promoted for cause, not like to fill a spot because somebody got injured or anything. He got a deserved promotion because he was the number one starting pitcher stat-wise on pretty much every category in the Cleveland system at Lynchburg, which was low A, and he got promoted to high A at Lake County now. And in his 2 starts at high A, he went 11 innings, allowed 7 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 13 strikeouts, 1.64 ERA. And this is after being promoted. So he is not slowing down whatsoever. In fact, I think his first start at high A was 6 shutout innings. So he has just been blowing people away. Like, I am legitimately excited about this young man. Seventh round pick, I think. So
that's, yeah, pretty wild. But at this point, when Cleveland drafts a pitcher in rounds 3 through 8, like, just circle his name, check back in 2 seasons.
Yeah. I mean, Zach Plesac was what, 12th round?
Something like that. Yeah.
All right. Next up, we've got Alex Call. And if you remember, if that name sounds familiar, he was the return in the Yonder Alonso trade with the White Sox. So how did he do in Double A this past week?
He hit the ball quite a lot. He slashed .435, .552, .652 with 2 doubles, a dinger, 9 runs, 6 walks, 5 stolen bases, and nearly caught Quinton Holmes, though he fell just short with a WRC plus of .231.
Well done, Alex Call. He has actually had a very good season in AA. I would not be surprised one bit if he is promoted shortly to AAA. So, oh yeah, it is definitely coming. And I want to give an honorable mention to Richard Palacios, who I interviewed this past, we posted that on the Covering the Corner site this past week. And they always joke that, or the running joke is the Hemi bump after you get interviewed, something good happens, whether you get promoted or you have a really good week. And he had a very good week. He had a 4-hit game after speaking with me. And overall on the week, he slashed .360, .407, .640. He went 9 for 25 in 6 games with 5 doubles and a triple. He also stole 3 bases, walked twice, and just struck out 3 times. So well done, Richard Palacios. He is definitely knocking on the door for AAA as well.
If only we had another level so that we...
It on is that nuts. Note. We have so many guys at AA that are just slaying it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Probably deserve a promotion that aren't getting it at the moment.
If only the league had a way by which they could add more teams.
I joked today that Columbus's starting lineup on Twitter, I'd give them an over 50% chance to beat the Orioles.
I'm very close to a soapbox. And I will not get on top of it at this time, but there are things to be said in regards to the league's persistence on limiting opportunities for non-superstar players. Huh. So to avoid that soapbox, I think we'll take a quick break. And when we return, we will discuss more prospects. And we are back at the Around the Corner podcast. And moving right along, we have some fun news from the Carnegie cupboard. Ernie Clement was promoted to the major leagues. And so I will also promote him from my cupboard. I think that's a pretty cool jump. And so he deserves promotion from the cupboard for making it to the majors in my mind.
Well deserved. And not only did he get promoted to the major leagues, he got his first major league hit. And then today he got his first major league RBI.
He touching home plate and stuff. Good times. I believe he scored a run as well. I mean,
yeah, I am so happy for Ernie Clement. Like, yeah, he absolutely has earned it. I mean, Tito's been singing his praises since I think the 2019 the spring training. So to see him get actual at bats that matter and not just, you know, pinch hit in the ninth inning type